the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Tuesday to you. Hope that your Tuesday is going well. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Latitula, Chris Partee in for the OG John Lopez. And then Figgy Fig, as always, who is slacking on his pimp and not making sure to remind us that the Cavs have a good shot in the East as well. That's a team that is worth looking at. And they added, on the perimeter, on the periphery, with they sent Isaac Okoro away and they brought in Lonzo Ball. That should be interesting for a team that I think needed a little bit more bench kind of help than they got this last year.
I kind of mentioned this when the trade happened. I'm like, damn, you got Lonzo. You pretty much got the Ball brothers at this point, because I'm sure Jello going to be in there in Cleveland chilling too. And you got Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
a hell of a city right now,
very
man.
Very interesting right now.
Yeah, LeVar Ball, a little LeVar Ball and Deion Sanders.
It's going to be entertaining, if anything.
Well, thankfully for, Cleveland, when it comes to the Deion got work. Deion got stuff to handle.
He does.
He got stuff to do, yeah.
He has a team of his own.
Deion out here trying to win the Big 12. He not worried necessarily about showing up to, what's the name of the stadium at this point? Paycor is the Bengals. What's the name of that one? Huntington Bank Stadium.
Yes.
See, I be remembering stuff. All right, let's bring it back home to the Houston Texans, as we are 3 weeks out from training camp. And in this time period, we have been hearing, shout out to Texans All Access, 6 p.m. every day right here on Sports Radio 610, keep you tapped in and tied in with your Houston Texans. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer do a fantastic job with that, as evidenced by the time that they sat down with Damian Pierce, the running back of this Texas team, one of the running backs, and now a dude that I imagine we have some eyes on, because you have Joe Mixon, you have Nick Chubb, and then of course you drafted Woody Marks in addition to the Damian Pierce and Dare Ogunbowale that you had. It's a pretty robust running back room, and there's going to be some cuts. So it's interesting to hear from the young man. Yes, Deion ain't winning the Big 12. I feel you. I was just saying that's the goal, that's the objective. I appreciate your text line. But let's hear from Damian, and let's just start where you're supposed to start, at number one. How are you feeling heading into 2025 football season, Damian?
Coming into 2025, man, it's just it's another year. Mm-hmm. Had a long offseason, had a productive offseason, I should say that. You know, getting back home, getting back grounded, coming back here ready to work. So I wanted to get everything out of the way, so when I hit Houston, I can hit the ground running.
And I mean, he's got to have that kind of perspective. Like it's. Do you feel like that is said just in a generic way, where, you know, this is just the answer, or that is an acknowledgement of the running back room and what he's about to walk into for training camp, the work that he's going to need to do?
I think it could be a little bit of both. Obviously he knows he needs to come in, be prepared and ready to work. But yeah, that could just be, I guess, a default answer to that question. But he knows what's in front of him. He knows what he's walking into as far as that running back room. You got, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb now.
Correct.
And then what's the rookie's name?
Woody Marks.
Woody Marks.
Woody Marks, a player that John Harris likes so much that he made this sound.
Hey, I love that. I love that cut right there.
Yeah, I know.
I love it, man.
The beautiful part is that John Harris also loves it. Like, he owns it. He's definitely. I love that guy. I'd be interested to see what Woody Marks actually, like, what space he has. Because, again, we're looking at this, and this is a pretty big running back room. And, of course, we're looking at this from the Damian Pierce perspective. But, like, what room is Woody Marks able to cut out, especially if Dare does remain? He's been that third down back. Now, of course, the offensive coaching staff that you have coming in, at least at the very top, obviously position coaches and what have you, remain the same outside of Cole Popovich taking over for Chris Strasser.
Yeah.
But There's not an allegiance to Dare from Nick Cayley. And so there's a level of openness with, I imagine, with the his eyes coming in, where if he just sees something he likes better in Marks as opposed to Dare. But I also think that Dare has shown him the ability to, you know, whether it's, passing game, getting out in screens and what have you. Obviously, blitz pickup is something that he does well, although Nick Chubb, in theory and historically, has done that pretty well. Like, how that falls out will matter a decent amount, but I think it also, and maybe not as much due to his own play, but how the other guys probably ahead of him, for lack of a better term, fall out, will in some ways dictate how Woody Marks gets utilized and how much he gets.
I mean, it's always going to be tough for a rookie running back, you know, especially if you're not a first-round pick. So it's always going to be tough coming in. But then you look at the guys that are ahead of you. So it really just, you know, depends on really, obviously, we know where Mixon's going to be. He's the number one guy.
Yes.
You look at Chubb, like, what is Chubb? We don't know what Chubb is going to be when he comes in.
We
really
don't
have any idea coming off of such an injury. You expect him to be a contributor, obviously, but you don't know at what level that's going to be.
Especially when you consider, like, the ways in which the contract is, it gives you an indication that there's no guarantees, right?
No.
And literally, but then also,
well,
like,
because there is no guarantees.
Right, there's no guarantees that he is going to be in a straight-up tandem as we've kind of hoped and talked about. That he might just be kind of a secondary guy, but also he could be a guy that works in tandem with Joe Mixon, and that changes the dynamic for Dare, for
and Woody.
But then also for this guy, for Damian Pierce, a guy who, again, he's had a very interesting up and down tenure thus far with the Texans, and he had some good instances with last year's season at various points, especially late on the season when you saw more gap scheme reintroduced. But the question that I think I always look forward to with any of these offensive players this offseason is about what's happening with the Kelly offense. Can we get crumbs? Can we get some ideas as to what's happening here? And I think we've been able to pull out some crumbs here and there and maybe make a little bit of it. Damian, with the way that you're understanding the Kelly offense, will it be a better fit for your game?
It just comes down to how Coach Kelly has organized and taught the playbook. You know, it's one thing to have a lot of plays and, you know, have a lot of players at your disposal. Oh, we got this for that situation. But if everybody don't understand it and it don't click and stick, it's kind of hard to go out there on game day and be completely confident in what you're doing. So Coach Kelly has done a great job of, you know, micromanaging the playbook these last 3 weeks, you know, with phase one, phase two, phase three, you know, he's just been introducing bit by bit. And we just been understanding the whole picture as offense just that way. And you can tell him, man, he brings the juice every day. He's enthusiastic about what he does. He believes in what he does. And that's what we're buying into. That's what we're doing right now. This is what OTAs is for. Like, we're buying in right now. We're trusting what he got on the paper. And everybody seemed comfortable to me. That's one thing I can definitely tell you from last year coming this year, everybody seems comfortable. Everybody seems confident in what they're doing. And, man, we got some good things brewing up.
I feel like he took it from like a very 30,000 foot view in a way that I was anticipating and hoping that he would give like a more individualized perspective.
Yeah.
But this might point to one thing, which is, again, they're still feeling out what the offense is in full.
Feels like it.
But I did find it interesting that he used the word, and of course, I don't think that this is specifically what he's meaning in the instance, but I think we can try and surmise generally what he was trying to get to, using the word micromanaging, talking about Nick Kelly with this offense. And I don't think that he's like, yo, I'm just out here in everybody's business or what have you. But I do think that he was getting to the idea of, This is not last year, right? He even said something in there that felt like a little bit of a knock on what Bobby Slowick's process was last year.
But in terms of guys understanding
the detail and the understanding that it seems like Nick Kelly is bringing to this, things that we've gotten in various places. Yeah. He speaks to that very clearly there, and I appreciated him going an extra step where I don't think he needed to in that answer, but he chose to in saying that it feels like everybody has a different level of confidence in what's happening with the offense this year as opposed to last year. And, I mean, without seeing much, without the opportunity to get our eyes on it at training camp just yet, that gives me some positive vibes, some positive feeling on the offense, at least that.
That's hope.
A little bit of hope there. You know what? That might be what it is.
A little bit of hope.
Be what it is. I think that feeling is hope that, you know, they're going to not only understand, but internalize and be able to execute better, because execution was a huge problem last year.
Yeah. I mean, it really sounds like guys are looking, I guess, looking forward to getting in this new offense. And it almost feels like, I don't necessarily know if Damian meant it this way, but it almost seems like some of what he said in that last cut there was almost an indictment on Bobby Slowick and what they were doing last year. It almost feels like that was a little bit of an indictment, because he's talking about the understanding and the way he's teaching. Nick Kelly is teaching this offense in this playbook. It's not just about, you know, I guess how many plays you have, but the understanding of the plays that you're running and when you're running them, things like that.
So, no, 100%. Like that was a clear difference that we could tell when Nick Kelly came in and talked about how, you know, purpose, like understanding the purpose of the play allows you to, you know, get better production. And you can see it, right? You can see the immediate application just off of juxtaposition from what this team had done the previous year. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. This is more Damian Pierce talking on Texans All Access. This is him talking about his ability to catch the football, because that might be a place where he finds a little bit more
playing time,
a little more marketability for himself in this offense. Damian, you know, what about that portion of that?
Me, I've always just been a football player. And that's the first thing everybody learned playing football, playing catch. That's okay. That's how everybody got introduced to playing football. And one thing about me, the way I approach catching the ball is kind of fun. You know, every ball is not going to be the best ball. Like, I remember growing up, well, we used to play a lot of games involving football, but one of them used to be like, we used to call it like, it's kind of like the same theme as like the ground is lava. So if the ball touched the ground, right. You out. So the objective of us was like to throw you the craziest ball. Like, it was no good balls in that drill. So like, we'll be in the square, throw it low, throw it high, like just try to make you do these crazy catches. And like, that's like, we used to bet on that. Like, we'll probably put a dollar in, and you know what I'm saying? Or we'll put the, what they call it? The fruit by the foot. So I remember we had fruit by the foot, Slim Jim, and a ring pop in one time. So just
Andy up with the ring pop.
Yeah, man, you already know. So just catching the football, you know, I take a lot of pride. Like you said, it's a thing that comes natural to me. You know, I don't feel out of place not catching the football. And me personally, I like being in open space. I like me one-on-one.
I very much would agree with that like sentiment. I imagine if I was running back, I'd be in that same space. Would you like me to try and run through this gap? Or give me the ball in space. How about that? Like, give me the ball where I can run in open space and I can utilize my natural abilities to run fast. One of the things that I just recall in listening to that, damn, I really like Damian Pierce. Like, he's such a likable dude.
He seems like it.
He really
sounds
is.
Like, he sounds like
I think that's why it's a tough thing when people talk about just getting rid of him and, you know, I'm over Damian. It's hard to say that when you actually like the guy.
It is.
Yeah, it's, like, I don't care what y'all say, man. Like, people are human, too. And if you actually like this person and just hear his interviews, it's kind of like, man, I'm rooting for him, man. I don't want him to go out like that.
Do you hear more of that than not that a lot of fans are ready to move on from him?
I heard it was a lot last year.
Yeah.
It was,
I know there was some, but yeah.
It was a lot last year, more than it been in the past.
Okay.
And, of course, it becomes bigger when you look at the way that this is constructed. And, you know, obviously you have Mixon up top, and then you add Nick Chubb, who is a fascination and has been a really good back, and then you have a rookie. I think that really puts it in a space where he might be at a disadvantage there. But, damn, he's so fun. The only thing that's tough is his ability to catch the ball is cool, and I know that, you know, he prides himself on it. I think you ask yourself practically, though, Damian Pierce as pass catcher, could you even justify that in the way that this running back room is starting to come together?
I mean, if you really look back, look at his first year. I think he had 39 catches that year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, there was no Joe Mixon in, what was that, 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was no Joe Mixon there in the mix. But I believe if you get him the opportunities, if he's allowed to have the opportunities, he could be productive in a role where he's catching the ball out of the backfield.
I just, like, where
you just,
how do you,
but you're saying, how do you, but that's the thing,
especially because like
that's the problem though.
Woody Marks is situated on almost like that's his primary kind of you know, MO
is
like
his wheelhouse.
Is in his wheelhouse, obviously. You want to have Mixon on the field probably as much as you probably can, with some level of caution, maybe a little more caution than was displayed previously. Maybe not as much Nick Chubb catching the ball in the backfield, but again, Dare provided a little bit of that. Again, I don't know how much you prioritize him, but it just made me think, like, how much priority will he get for the opportunity to display all those wares in a way that, and not to say that you wouldn't know that they're there, but for them to be useful for you in this iteration of the team.
I mean, it's not that it's not a good problem to have a almost a crowded running back room.
For the team, sure.
For the team, but as an individual, as a player, we're talking about Damian Pierce here. Like you said, where are they going to get him those opportunities? I believe if he gets those opportunities, he's going to produce. But you got to find the opportunities to get him in there. And I think that's going to really, really come down to what does Nick Chubb give you.
And let's see if this ends up being a place and an opportunity for him to make a little hay, although it's tough when you consider you have Braxton Berrios in. I don't know if he'll make the team, but he is more of a kick return type guy.
Okay.
Jalen Knoll as a fast guy, you wonder if that could be a role that he occupies. But Damian Pierce has been a return man.
Yeah.
For you, this was Damian Pierce talking about what made him successful as a kick returner.
It really not so much adapting, because I was a great returner like my whole life. It got to a point in high school where like they'll onside kick it rather than kick it to me. So my coach was like, bro, you know, don't even worry about it. They're gonna do all this, we just gonna keep y'all. So you know, kick return is just like me and Coach Frank like to call it a longer run play.
Yeah,
that's all it is. like it got to the point where Coach Frank, you know, we was thinking about this, adding this in the scheme, adding a little fold here, and then one day he was just like, man, you know what, DP, I'm just gonna tell you which two guys we double team, and we gonna go from there. Like, yeah. and he has that trust in me, and I have that confidence in him to put me in the right position as well. So, you know, being with Coach Frank and like you said, over the years, just gaining that trust and building that relationship and seeing it, you know, manifest on the field has been great.
Yeah. I like the way that he describes it. Like, you know, obviously we talked about it. That's once the dynamic kickoff came in, that it really does operate like a run play as when we had seen it more in like XFL, UFL type spaces. That again brings me back to, does he get the benefit of that, or do you start seeing, I mentioned some of those other guys, there's also like a Woody Marks as a guy who is going to be down the depth chart. Maybe that's how he gets active, is also maybe plying his trade.
Some returns.
Return as a return man. Again, if you're talking about, if you were thinking about a running back in spaces to do special teams things like run, return. I love Damian Pierce. I love hearing him talk. He's such a like an effervescent personality. Yeah. I can't shake the feeling that he's got such a high climb.
It's an uphill battle.
It feels insurmountable for him this year while, you know, looking at this running back room.
I mean, he did get some opportunities at some returns last season. Like, not a ton, but he did get some in. I mean, is that almost like, I mean, he's going to be a fourth-year guy. Would that be almost considered like a step back to only go back to only be, I guess, sparingly a return guy, maybe not even full time?
Is that a step back?
It was kind of like that last year.
Yeah, it really was.
Because I think the step back for him was his second year where Devin Singletary pretty much became RB1. Yeah. And I think that was kind of us like, damn, what happened to Damian Pierce?
Yeah.
And then the next year, we seen what happened, and he was just kind of like kick return guy.
Because he had an extremely productive rookie year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
100%. Pierce did, yeah.
He's a little more scheme dependent, it feels like. And when the scheme that seems like it's coming in might be more effective, but now there's just a lot of
bodies, man.
A lot of bodies in the way.
And again, for the team, it's a good thing.
It's a great thing that you put yourself in a situation where you can really let, this is where that competition shines through when you have the talent that seems like it fits and will give you production. It does suck for a guy like you mentioned, Figgy, that it seems like we really really like in Damian Pierce. But yeah, well, look, training camp is the ultimate divider. It'll tell us some things, and
that's where you show and prove.
That's where you do it for sure. So again, 3 weeks till we get to training camp, and Damian Pierce can see what he can do on the fields to give us an idea of what it'll look like. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's 1:20 p.m., which means it's time to turn things over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so I got a list of the best 4th of July movies to watch this week. 713-572-4610. Text in a movie you like watching during the 4th of July. Plus, y'all been talking about this commercial that been playing on our airwaves. I think I want to talk to them about a possible opportunity.
Okay, all right. Let's get into all of that next.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Figgy Fig, holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. So since the 4th of July is this Friday, I got to get his website a little credit. ThePioneerWoman.com.
Wait, oh, okay.
ThePioneerWoman.com. They put together a list of...
What do they typically have?
I checked the website out recently, and just a lot of cool stuff you could... cool little articles and stuff.
Okay.
What you could do on the 4th of July.
They got recipes.
Stuff to keep you cool during the summer.
Oh, I'm all about that.
Yeah, that type of stuff on the website. So they put together a list of 50 movies that are the perfect add to your watch list for the 4th of July. I'm not going to go through all the 50. I'm going to just go through the 15. What happened?
They got root beer float pie.
Oh, hey.
What does that mean?
I kind of want to try that.
I mean, it's probably just the flavor, right?
I would take some. Yes, I would take some bites, but I would. I'd be skeptical.
Really? Yeah.
Root beer float pie.
I'm trying. I would try that.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but I would try it.
Is that like a cheesecake? It looked like it kind of like a cheesecake.
Okay.
Really? Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you good. I thought something happened, man.
I will be looking at the pioneerwoman.com for a decent amount today.
Yeah. So I'm going to read off the top 15 movies they have on this list, which is, I guess, the best 4th of July movies to watch.
Okay.
So number one, and by the way, I got beef with this list. I'll let you know afterwards.
Oh, we got beef,
maybe,
huh?
Y'all might catch on.
Independence Day got to be on here, right?
That's what I was thinking. Independence Day.
All right, we're going to get to
here
it.
Here we go. No.
Let me get through the list first. Let me get through the list.
Sorry.
So number 15 is 1776. It's a movie that was made in 1972.
Ain't no way.
For those who don't know. Number 14, Hamilton. That was a very popular movie or play, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Musical. 13, Forrest Gump. 12, Air Force One. 11, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. 10, Apollo 13.
Okay. I might watch Apollo 13.
9, Captain America, The First Avenger.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
I wouldn't mind watching that.
That chill vibe.
Yeah. Number 8, National Treasure.
Always fun. Always fun. Always fair. Yeah. Way to spend a couple hours.
Number 7, Live Free or Die Hard. Number 6, An American Tale.
I ain't watching that.
Number 5.
I can tell you I'm not watching that.
Number 5, The Sandlot.
Okay, yeah. There we go. I'm with that. With The Sandlot. I'm with that.
Number 4, Rocky.
Yeah, I'll watch me some Rocky.
Yeah. Number 3, The American President.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to be honest. I don't know.
He's like, I have no idea.
I don't know what that film is.
Yeah. Number 2, Top Gun.
That's fine.
Okay, well.
The Vistas are incredible.
This is.
Yeah.
It's not working out.
And.
You're not watching Top Gun?
No,
Top
I'm talking Gun about, I know where this list is going. And I
Yeah, number 1, Jaws.
Really? So, Jaws is not bad, but.
That feels like the worst thing to watch for the 4th of July, because the 4th of July, you better have your feet in somebody's water. Yeah, you better have your feet in a pool.
See, I'm not a
beach. I'm sure the beach going to be a little popular on the 4th, right?
I'm not a water person, so that don't bother me. I'm not going to be on the beach with no sharks. So I'm not worried about that. I'll watch Jaws.
Why in the hell Independence Day?
That's where I was getting to.
Is it number 1 or at least number 3?
Did you see where it is on the list at all?
I did not see.
Okay, I'm going to have to.
I ain't going to lie to you. I was totally checked out when I see it was top 15.
This is ridiculous.
A movie named Independence Day is not in the top 15 movies to watch on Independence Day.
By the way, there's too many like serious movies on here.
There were quite a few.
Like, I'm thinking about if you watch something on the 4th of July, this is not supposed to be educational or what have you.
You want to laugh and joke and something funny, entertaining, like.
I mean, it could be an action movie or whatever, but something that feels fun. Like, we off work right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We not serious.
We might not even be really watching the movie intently. We might be, you know, grilling something.
Exactly. It's
we
just
might
on.
Be outside. It's just on. So it's supposed to be something that you can kind of check in on. And The American President doesn't feel like that. You know what I mean?
I feel like, and you know, like I said, I'm not a Hamilton person, but I can understand if you have that on in the background with the musicals, singing and all that stuff. A lot of people like Hamilton. So I can
very popular.
Yeah, I can understand that. I don't really get the Jaws thing, man. I mean, sorry.
Jaws is a classic American film.
Do you think 4th of July?
I don't think.
Jaws.
I don't think 4th of July, and I also don't love.
Some people think Scary Movie thinking about Jaws.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, but Jaws is a classic, though.
Yes.
It is. Especially the original. It's a classic, but maybe not.
There's a lot of classes out here, man.
Not 4th of July. I get it.
You know what my issue is? Not enough blockbusters on this. Like, 4th of July is a blockbuster holiday. Because, I mean, it's summer.
Independence Day was a blockbuster.
Exactly.
Why is it? Yeah.
It's a really good movie, too, man. I really enjoy Independence Day. Yeah. And that has a 4th of July feel to it.
Like, 4th of July is not for an art house film or something that's like. 4th of July is a blockbuster. Like, I'm not even a fan of this series, but I'd much rather watch, like, Fast Five than watch. Okay.
I'm not a big fan of that
either. The Patriot, even though, yeah, I thought that was a fine film. Like, I'd much rather watch a blockbuster, fun,
lighthearted,
probably could turn your brain off a little bit film.
Something lighthearted.
Rather than, I mean, you
got to think a lot.
July 4th is a slow paced holiday.
We chilling.
We supposed to be chilling. You supposed to be
chilling and grilling.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I was trying to use too many words. You got it.
That's it. That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So let me know what you think. What movie should be on this list? Hit me up.
305. Sandlot was on the list, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Sandlot was fifth.
I do see something on their website that I like. There's a recipe for a blueberry pancake cobbler.
We on the same page. We just
we hungry, man. I told you, my shirt says hangry on it. So, yeah, I like to eat, y'all.
Yeah, that sound kind of good.
It does sound very... I love blueberries, too. Anything blueberry, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Luke Sports Radio 610. So we've been getting a lot of text messages. I've been seeing the text messages. Might not have responded, but I've been seeing a lot of text messages, especially during the break, when you say, hey, what's up with that commercial that just played? Or, hey, this commercial is really crossing the line or right at the line. So, I think it's fair to kind of bring this up right here. So, shout out to Dick Law Firm, who is a proud sponsor here at Sports Radio 610. We hear the commercials all over the city. We've seen some of the billboards and all that stuff. And I think I like this type of advertisement right here.
Well,
you
like it? Okay.
I do. I think it's funny. As long as it's not crossing the line, which I don't think it's crossing the line. I like this type of advertisement.
It's attention grabbing.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, here's the first part of one of the commercials that played throughout Sports Radio 610.
This is Eric Dick, a home insurance lawyer. Did Hurricane Beryl damage your home? Is your insurance company playing hard to get? Call me right now at 832-LAWYERS. Okay. That's 832-LAWYERS. Ask me about my dick. Law firm.
All right.
They won't get straight for a week.
All right.
Like, whoa, wait a minute.
That escalated way too. Like,
he just jumps out. Like, it is a good commercial. I hear it all the time.
You know about the law firm. Around. You remember the name.
Of course. You're not going to forget the name. It's doing its intended purpose.
I almost lived for the dumb button one time, man. I was about to say,
Did you? Whoa.
I did it a couple times in the car. I heard the commercial in the car. I'm like, whoa.
Where's my dump button in the car?
I'm like, oh, it got me, man. And I see a couple tweets once in a while like, man, that law firm is wild for this.
But if you ever need them, you're going to remember that name.
That's right.
Exactly. I think that's his real name.
Go get you some
I'm guessing that's his real name. That's the perfect. I think he's leaning into his last name.
Hey.
I think it's perfect.
I thought the innuendos were fine, but like the straight up, that was a lot.
It wasn't subtle. Like nothing,
not at
there's
all.
Nothing subtle
no,
about it.
No.
Which is what I think makes it a good commercial, actually.
Huh.
Is that it's not really subtle. It's just like, here you go, take the D.
Okay.
What? I ain't say the word.
Here's a little more from the commercial.
Oh, there's
Eric
more. Dick. Okay, very good.
That's why you call me at 832-LAWYERS. And we'll take him to Pound Town, baby.
Yeah, let's go, man.
That part, I almost crashed one day. I ain't gonna lie.
That part
got me. That part got me. When I first really just noticed, I'm like, oh, hell no. He didn't go there.
I literally laughed out loud when I heard that part.
We're going to Pound Town, dog, really?
He said, baby.
That's what we doing. Okay. I see where you at.
Here's a little more from Eric Dick Law Firm.
Do you have roof damage? Your insurance company's leaving you all dripping wet from water coming through the ceiling?
Come
Look,
on,
it has never been this easy to get dick.
Come
on. I feel like some of these are actually the. I feel like you've changed some of this. I feel like you've addressed these up.
I did not. And I made sure I left a lot of stuff inside the commercial too, so it won't. So people just tuning in won't just be like, wait a minute, what in the world?
What are they doing here?
Yeah, but this is how you ended the commercial.
Our office is in Houston, Texas, and we want to help you. Our clients always come first. Better get Dick.
There you go, man.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I wanted. Hey, this is what I wanted to do, though, man. I feel like, I guess, let me talk to Eric real quick. Let me look in the camera and talk to Eric.
Okay.
We have a sponsorship open for the text line, 713-572-4610. We are open to having Eric Dick as a sponsorship for the text line. So that way I can make some drops out of it. Oh, so whenever Reggie say on the Eric Dick text line, I could just play one of these drops, which I won't play right now because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
Go get them, Fig. Go right. Get them.
This was just an elaborate way for you to try and make my life uncomfortable every day, huh?
You know what?
Every single day.
I'm not mad at him for that either.
Every single day.
I'm not.
Now, this commercial, it kind of reminded me of something that happened recently, too. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of watching different platforms that have the ads and stuff like that. HBO Max and all that stuff. And it's an LG commercial that comes on all the time. And they was advertising a lot of washing machines and stuff like that. And I felt like they were kind of crossing the line a little bit, too. Here's the LG commercial talking about old sheets.
Son of a fridge.
Ooh. Oh, sheets.
He's a shish kebab. Grandma.
Don't let this shish happen to you. Get LG, America's most reliable line of home appliances.
You know what I realized?
I always look for the dump button every time, man. That commercial happens.
I realized that,
man.
I really don't like this because I work in radio and I FCC mandated airwaves, and I'm just like, cuss words in the wrong context,
right?
Or getting to the line, they upset me.
They
trigger a reaction that we've worked a long time to build within us. And it just keeps pushing that button, and I don't like it.
They going right up to the line, too.
I don't like it.
They going right, including Mr. Dick. He's going right up to the line, but not crossing it. I like it, actually.
I like it, man.
I like it.
I think it's cool. Like I said, I always lean over towards the right, like, where's the dumb button? Like, okay, they didn't cross the line.
So for those of you out there that have been hearing the commercials and been like, is that it is real.
Yes.
It is happening.
It's a real commercial.
It
will play sometime today. I'm sure it plays sometime today.
We'll play in the next break, probably.
Yeah, probably so. But got a lot of text messages about that commercial. And I'm like, yeah, it's crazy. I hear whenever I'm driving throughout the city, too.
But right. It's memorable.
It is memorable.
You will not forget the name.
What was the name again?
Mr. Dick.
Eric Dick.
Yep. Eric Dick.
You want
law firm.
Law firm. Yes, that is absolutely.
You got to throw law firm in there.
That's right.
Yeah, you do.
Law firm makes a difference.
Yeah. Does it?
It does.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
All makes right. a big
Ask
difference.
Ask me about my dick.
Oh, law all right.
We talking about the law firm.
You're
man.
In the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Unless you're not, we'll see.
That's the man's name.
I'll see if I still have a job tomorrow. All right. That is Figgy's mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at The Figgy Fig if you see something that you believe to be mixtape worthy. But coming up next, let's get ready to talk with the fellas of The Drive, Clinton Ron. But before we do that, looks like there's a list of the top wide receiving corps in all of the NFL. Where do the Texans land? Let's talk about it next. Thanks for rocking with us on this Tuesday in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Reginald Adetula. Appreciation to my guy, Chris Partee, for rocking with me all day. And honestly, for the last couple of days in the stead of John Lopez.
It's been fun filling in for John with you, man.
Thanks,
Anytime
man.
Anytime I can get in here, I'm always for filling in with you and Figgy Fig.
Man, this is fun. And of course, always appreciation to Figgy Fig for making us sound good, for keeping us on our ones and twos, and keeping me on my toes, apparently.
Definitely been on your toes here this last couple segments.
Yeah. That is absolutely the case. Getting ready to talk with the fellas of The Drive, Clint and Ron, here shortly. But before we get there, Pro Football Focus, they've been going through a series. It's list time. Like this,
it is that time of year.
In fact, we're getting close to what I like to call list week.
Ooh.
Which is All-Star Break, right? Because All-Star Break is like, we ain't got no sports going. And all the powers that be are like, you know what we got for you? We ain't got no actual sports going. So we got these lists for you.
We got these lists for you.
And then I really lean in. But, I mean, this time of year, everybody's trying to bridge the gap till we get to training camp, which at this point, 3 weeks away, the 22nd, is when things get going for your Texans when the guys are reporting. But in the Bridge Time put up lists, and Pro Football Focus is joining along with all the other publications in doing that. And just recently, they put together a top wide receivers, not wide receivers individually, because they did that, but a top wide receiving core in the NFL. And this kind of piqued my attention because I was like, huh, I do wonder if the Texans, because it's top 10, you said, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if
I think they ranked them all, but.
They did rank them all. Okay, good. So we could get a feeling of this. So Fig, I don't know, did you see this as well?
I didn't see it.
All right, so I think we might need to do this as a guessing game because neither have I seen it either. Chris, you are the one who is privy to this.
Yeah.
So, Fig, do you have where do we think is the best wide receiving core? And it's definitely the Bengals, right? Like, is that where we're starting with, or am I missing somebody?
I'm gonna say yeah.
He's giving a Partee's giving away.
I'm not giving anything.
I wouldn't be
surprised. I wouldn't guess that.
Not doing anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if they the best. Well, I don't think they the best, but I was going to say the Jags might be top. They might have Jags kind of high.
Jags will get some love here. I'm trying to think, are there any other ones that we're missing?
Washington, they might get a little love too. They just got Debo and then Scary Terry.
I wonder, do the Rams get some love here with Devontae Adams joining Puka Nacua?
I can see that, yeah.
All right, so which one do you want to get? I feel like we should be able to get top 5, maybe the top 10 without missing. I think we should be able to do that.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to guess here to start with? I feel like the easy one is the Bengals because that one's going to get a lot of love, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Either the Bengals or the Rams.
Okay. Chris Partee, we're going to guess the Bengals.
Are number one?
Where are they in the top 10?
Oh, yeah, they're in the top 10.
Okay.
They're in the top 10.
Where are they?
3.
There we go. All right. Okay. Three.
So y'all was close.
All right. Okay.
Y'all
close. Was close. So that face, you did make a face. All right. So where do we want to go after that? And of course, the text line trying to help. I wasn't trying to look at the text line, but I did see the Vikings and I was like, oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
We probably should acknowledge the
Vikings will be in there.
The Justin Jefferson. They might be. Addison.
They might be number one. I'm going to say, I kind of want to go one.
All right, Partee, where are the Vikings?
Surprisingly, the Vikings are number 6. So outside of the top 5. Now, again, this is PFF. So, yeah.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Take it with a grain of salt. Course. But they are outside the top 5.
All right, so we didn't put the Rams in here, but we do both feel confident about the Rams.
I do.
Chris Partee.
8.
Really?
Yes, Rams
do they
number
have a,
8.
Do they have a write-up? Do they have a blurb underneath it as to why they feel that way?
So it says Puka Nacua was the NFL's highest graded receiver in 2024. Marking his second straight season with an elite mark.
Uh-huh.
The Rams added to their room Devontae Adams and still roster Tyler Higbee, Jordan Whittington, and Tutu Atwell.
Oh, we're adding tight ends in here.
They're the whole receiving
core. So it's the whole receiving core. It's not a wide receiving core.
Yeah.
So
probably put the Ravens in there.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
The way they titled it, they said wide receiving corps, but they're adding tight ends.
Yeah, but if you're adding tight ends, I love what Isaiah Likely brings to that wide receiving core in Buffalo. Mark Andrews is still pretty good, but I like the Ravens. You want to take that here?
Yeah, I'm gonna say the Ravens.
Why the Baltimore Ravens?
The Ravens. Hold on a second.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Did we miss?
The Ravens are 12.
I don't like what's happening here. How Sway?
Do you want me to give you the top 10?
Before we get there,
you got another team you want to get.
Well, I mean, we done lost the challenge, but I do want to ask before we get there, the Texans. Do we feel like, Fig, that they're top 10 with this? Because obviously, Nico Collins is one of the best wide receivers in the game, and you're going to get a lot of love off of that alone. I wonder how much they're going to regard Christian Kirk coming in as a veteran, but I do wonder how they feel, especially after. Maybe not the greatest season there with Jacksonville, and then what they're going to do for the other wide receivers, the young guys that are coming in and filtering in, on top of the fact that I don't think you have a like widely respected tight end as well. Right?
Yeah.
So we're kind of trafficking almost entirely off of Nico Collins and just how good he is.
Yeah, and I'm not really being fair with this, but I'm kind of going off the way they looked at the Texans offense all off season. Where I feel like they haven't really gave him the love that they should get, which, I mean, take it for what you want with that. But I feel like the offensive line, Bobby Slowick, I feel like they kind of put a bad taste in people's mouths with the offense. So
you might be right about
that. I wouldn't be surprised if they were like in the middle of the pack, probably around 16, 17.
I'm going to guess that they are. You said the Ravens were 12?
Ravens were 12.
I'm going to guess that they have like right next to that. I'm guessing they're probably going to have the Texans about 13. Where do they have the Texans?
Number 10.
10!
Mm.
So, okay. Just made it into the top 10.
Because they have a lot of love for Nico Collins. And yes, 631 says the Ravens don't have a number one wide receiver. I think they have a number of good wide receivers. And that's why, like, as a core, I was viewing this differently as individual wide receivers because Zay Flowers is really tough. I think Rashad Bateman came into his own as being a guy that can go and get the football in big situations on top of adding, admittedly not the same type of guy that we've seen at his height, but you adding a nuke. But yeah, PFF, okay.
Yeah, who are the top 10? Yeah, like, what's the top 10?
Who is the top 10?
All right, so top 10. So obviously Texans were number 10. Number 9, the Chicago Bears, because apparently, now I started reading a couple more Mooney. Of these write-ups. They're listing everyone that basically has caught passes or will catch passes. So even a couple running backs were mentioned in here.
Okay.
They're mentioning just the total receiving core. They're mentioning
like just the pass game almost the pass, entirely.
Pretty much. I don't know why they didn't just say the pass.
Yeah, that would have helped. That would have helped us.
That
maybe
would have helped. Yeah.
Well, then if you're doing that, Well, it's not like, you know, Derrick Henry's catching out of the backfield, but that Ravens pass game, I feel like
you think they're better than 20.
Lamar had a lot of yards passing.
I think they were incredible.
He finds guys. So we talked about the Rams already at number 8. Number 7, the Miami Dolphins. They still have faith in the Dolphins, too. Receiving core.
The Dolphins, I think let me speak for myself. I think they've lost their luster with me just because they might be good, but I'm like, to what end?
You just don't know.
To do what with?
They're the L.A. Clippers of the NFL.
Damn. Damn, Fig.
Nah, I'm just
L.A. Clippers. So, number 6 was the Vikings again. Talked about them. Top 5. Number 5. They got the 49ers at number 5.
Okay.
Still kind of surprises me. They lost, even though Debo, they were upset with him because he got out of shape, but they lost him.
But I mean, Juwan Jennings gave you a decent facsimile of what Debo was giving you, at least at that point. Brandon Ayuk is still an interesting question, but then you add Kittle in there. And then what's my guy out of Florida that they had last year that unfortunately was shot? Like he's been good for them as
Pearsall?
Well.
Ricky Pearsall.
Pearsall. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you. Yeah, he's been solid as well. He's been solid as well. So, yeah, I guess you bring that all together, and I can kind of see that, but okay.
And one team I don't think you guys mentioned that we all forgot about, the Detroit Lions are number 4.
Yeah, that's on me. That's
they're
a me
number
thing
four.
Because I have a certain kind of view of Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think he's a very good wide receiver, but I also don't view him as, like, the type of receiver that a defense comes in and goes, we have to game plan around that guy, which is probably a personal failing.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.